I was waiting for that. This too is the day the Lord has made. We do have reason. This that straightened out from Wednesday, I guess. The earth.
Remain on Jesus.
our crucified and risen Savior. We continue on the top of page 4. O Lord, keep our ears attentive to your word, through word and song. Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues for all generations.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love.
According to your great compassion, blot out all my transgressions. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him, and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Almighty God, look with favor on your humble servants and stretch out the right hand of your power to defend us against all our enemies. We're at the third Sunday in Lent, a reading from Holy Scripture from the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter. What else does our Lord God have to do to prove that he provides for the entire human being, both body and soul? We hear these words. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Dear friends, what we are not able to do for ourselves, God made sure was done for us at a cost to Him. A reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for our gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 4th chapter. Do you truly know what is in the water you drink? Only Jesus has pure water for our soul. We hear these words. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I don't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, Go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day, and note that at the beginning and at the end, the refrain is sung twice. Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance from God our Father, and also through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue the focus on the Scriptures this morning, turning back to the book of Exodus where we hear these words. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear redeemed, fellow redeemed, people of God, thanks to God's mercy and the willingness and commitment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For truly God does demonstrate his love for us sinners, that he was willing to send his Son, and the Son was willing to come and die for us. And thankfully not just die for us, but also rise again for us. Dear friends, would you consider yourself to be overall a happy and content person, as well as one who does not need to see in order to believe? Or would you describe yourself more on the line of being a doubter and an anxious person, as well as having a faith that really needs to see before saying, I believe? Well, depending on the day and the situation, we as human beings, we might fall into either one of those camps. Yet, dear friends, is that a valid excuse when it comes to talking about the God of the Scriptures and what he is capable of doing for us, both body and soul? As we experience from a distance, or even when we experience firsthand, the ugliness of living in a sinful world, a world corrupted by sin, our accusations thrown against God are not really valid. Now, the concerns and the hurts, they are valid. But it is not God who is to blame for those hurts and those concerns and the sin in this life, in our life, and in this world. At times, we cannot really identify something that is to blame, and that can get frustrating. The Lord God provides answers for us, answers that we need. Maybe answers we don't always want to hear, but sometimes we do need to hear what we don't want to hear in order for the healing to truly begin. Now, this is nothing new. It was not new at the time of Moses and the Israelites leaving Egypt on their way to the promised land. And so the encouragement that was needed then is still the encouragement that is needed today. For our world is still corrupted by sin. And God is not the problem. Rather, he has the solution. But instead of flocking to his solution as we ought, we tend to be like the Israelites and go, Lord, that's not enough. Dear friends, the Lord reminds us once again by inspiration through his biblical writers that there is to be no room for doubt when it comes to God, the fact that he is always among us, that he indeed does care and provide for our physical needs, as well as he does care and provide for our spiritual needs. Let's look at the children of Israel for a moment. I mean, God truly provided for these people. He called them out to be his own. And yes, they were in misery conditions in the land of Egypt. And they were crying out to the Lord for help. And so the Lord rescues them through a very powerful display of plagues, right? That last plague being very deadly. Something Egypt had brought upon themselves. And that should have been a very visual and clear reminder to the Israelites that God had their back and that God keeps his promises. He had promised their father Abraham that he would bring them to the land of Canaan, and he was going to do that. And you would think, after seeing what happened to the Egyptians, the firstborn of both human and animal, that they would have no doubt that the Lord God would provide for them and do what he said. But it didn't take long, right? For the children of Israel to complain and grumble against the Lord. I mean, the Lord God, again, provided other proof than the plagues that he was with them and that he was going to keep his word. He provided for them by saying, you know, take from the Egyptians, we're going to plunder them, and you will have these provisions for your journey. He provided a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He provided manna and quail along the way. He provided water on numerous occasions. There were witnesses to what the Lord God was providing in addition to themselves, so that such could be written down and testified to for all time. I mean, the Israelites really had no right to question the fact that God was among them. He truly was. But then again, it still wasn't enough, as we hear. Grumbling and complaining. As we hear, once again, we're thirsty. Understandably so, where they were. But the Lord God had provided water for them not that long ago. And we're about a month into the journey, and their memory is so short. But their mouth is so quick with ire toward the Lord God and toward his representatives. I mean, Moses is crying out, Lord, these are not my people, these are your people, and they want to stone me because they are so upset because of their short memory. I mean, the Lord was testing them, and what happened? I know we can't put these on students' papers anymore, but there was a big fat F in red ink on their paper. They failed the test miserably. And they had no reason to. God gave them everything they needed to be reminded of the fact that he cares for them and that he provides for them physically and spiritually, and they just didn't get it. Why did God keep with them? Why not just leave them there and die in their thirst? Because this would not be the last time that they would complain. It wasn't because of them. It was because of us, too, that he did not. Because of his mercy for all of us, the entire world, he was not going to give up on the Israelites through whom the promised Savior would come. God is true to himself. Dear friends, never doubt that God is among us. I mean, just as he provided for the Israelites then, so does he not provide for us today? I mean, how many grocery stores are in a near vicinity that we could even walk to? And if you got a good arm, could throw a baseball at and hit it. And what's in those stores as we walk into the stores? I mean, we complain when one little shelf is empty. My goodness, store after store has plenty of food, and it just appear on the shelf. It goes way beyond that, all the way back to God providing what we need. And God's not the one that pays farmers to plow their crops underground or to spill milk on the ground to raise the price. God provides. He does indeed satisfy the desire of every living thing. It's not on him that people go hungry. And what really is hungry? A child hasn't eaten for a couple hours. Mom, I'm hungry. Mom, you never feed me. It's right there in the pantry. Oh, my legs, they can't make it to the pantry. Mom, you need to get it for me. No, God gave you good legs. Use them while you can. God provides for us day after day, and yet How do we sometimes catch ourselves towards God? What have you done for me lately, God? I don't have the right kind of food. What do you mean you didn't get Kraft macaroni and cheese? You got the generic brand. Right? How silly if we really would just take a step back and how we blame God for not satisfying our desires. Not realizing that He provides amply for us, physically and above all, spiritually. And so instead of blaming God, just as the Israelites were not to do, so we are not to do it either. But look in the mirror and go, what am I doing that is not seeing how God provides for us aplenty? It's not looking at God's heart, but looking at our heart. His heart is full of love and compassion and care. And sometimes He does withhold to test us, and too often, unfortunately, we fail the test. Thankfully, though, God is merciful to us when we have that short-term memory syndrome. Dear friends, never doubt that God is among us and that He provides for us for our physical welfare, but above all, for our spiritual welfare. He provided the Savior of the nations. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There was nothing in us that deserved God to do this and for Christ to do this as well. We're the grumblers and the complainers and the short-sighted people. And yet, in spite of all that, God kept true to Himself and sent His Son to be the Savior of the nations, to come and to seek and to save the lost. And so Jesus went to that cross and paid the debt that we owe and paid it in full. We don't have to spend our life here on earth trying to find ways to please God, to earn His favor. Rather, we spend our time trying to please God out of thanks to Him, out of the love of Christ, we are compelled to live not for ourselves, but for Him who died and rose again for us. In view of His great mercy for us, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to Him. God be praised for having our debt paid in full through what Jesus has done for us. That payment is definitely highlighted through the season of Lent as we journey with our Savior to the cross once again to fully appreciate and take in what He has done for us and let that forgiveness that He has won for us wash over us. And as it washes over us, to grow in our appreciation of what that means. That we have peace with God, the God who provides for us physically and spiritually. That reminds us that this life is not where it is at. This is temporary. But I've given you thus eternal life to look forward to. And so that you can persevere. And as you persevere, you will build up in character. And as you build up in character, you will build up in hope. And the hope that God puts before us in Christ does not want, it does not disappoint. Dear friends, give thanks. That's the response, day in and day out, that we owe our God. Give thanks with our words, like the psalmist said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Day after day, it's fresh and new. Give thanks in how we talk to one another, how we talk to God, how we talk to others. We're glorifying Him. And what does James say? Out of the same mouth, praises and curses should not be. So let us not then glorify God here in church and then later on this day use the F word or whatever it might be that's vulgar and not really pleasing to God. And if we're in that habit of using those words, ask God to help us get out of that habit. And with our actions, we can say thanks. Because the Lord has said, love God and love your neighbor. One of the ways then we can say thank you to God is by being compassionate and looking out for our neighbors. All the more as we live in a crazy society. to be looking out for one another. Do you know who your neighbors are? When's the last time you talked to them? God, help us be neighborly. It's a way of saying thanks to God, not because we have to, but because we get to. With the hope that if they don't know Jesus, maybe through us watching us and hearing us, they will come to know Jesus and the God who provides for them amply, even amidst the storms that are surrounding us with. Because He is not leaving us, even with the damage that is being seen around us. He's still here, testing us, driving us toward Him, the God who provides. And also then to give thanks in our prayers connected to our words. Do we take the time to pray before our meals? Even in public. Doesn't have to be a big public show. When we pray, what do we tend to pray for? Are we more in our prayers asking God for the next thing? Or giving thanks for all the things that He has put before us? Prayer is a powerful tool. It's a way to say thank you to God. If we're not praying as we ought, before we start praying harder, make more time to be in the gospel, which empowers our prayer, which reminds us of what God does for us, especially through His Son. And that drives then a prayer of thanks. God, help us be less complaining and more grateful. So examine our speech. What do we tend to be more doing? Complaining about this and that person, and this is not enough? Or are we grateful for what is before us? Keeping in mind, this life is temporary, so let us live it such. It's not about hoarding as much as we can. For what purpose? I mean, there's a fine line of having things for us to use, and then there's a fine line of holding on to those, thinking, as long as I hold on to this, I'll be okay. But what does the Lord remind us of through the storms? The earthly storms, these things disappear. But what still remains? What He puts in the heart. Romans 8 reminds us that cannot be taken away from us. We can slip away from it. But again, that's not on God, who remains true to Himself. The Lord did not say that it was going to be easy. He did not tell the Israelites, you know what, this is going to be a piece of cake going to the promised land of Canaan. They knew that going in what was going to be. We know what this life is going to be like. Through trial and tribulation will we enter the kingdom of heaven, but never doubt as we are in this journey that God is among us, continually providing for our physical welfare as well as our spiritual welfare. And so let us help set the example for the next generation, for our neighbors and others, about God's ample provision for us. Yes, we will have doubts along the way. But God, help us not have those doubts linger more than necessary and make a home in our mind, in our hearts. For the Lord is among us, and He continues to provide ample proof that He is, providing what we need and when we need it, even if we do not see it. We pray then, God, help us with having less anxiety and discontentment, and rather be more and more grateful. The Lord is among us. Never doubt it. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. We join in a confession of faith. It's printed out for us on page 10.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified. crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are stressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
Take our silver
and our gold. Not a mite would we withhold. Take our intellect and use every power as you shall choose. Take our love, O Lord, we pour. At your feet its treasure store. Take ourselves and we will be ever only all for you. We thank you, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. As you have watched over them through life to this point, we trust you will continue to watch over them. Thank you, Lord, for providing the medical means Michael Gunter needed this past week. We know you are with him and ask that you continue to grant him a recovery from what impacted his health. Provide what is needed to help Gary Werthein's sisters, Jackie and Virginia, endure their current medical challenges. And the same for Heather Donahue's mother and brother who are facing their own medical challenges. Revitalize their bodies, we pray, and above all, refresh their souls with the peace which only comes from you through your Son, our Savior. And now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever ways we need in your sight. Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
we pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. To that. Just to emphasize, new Bible study starting today. We're continuing a look at the Augsburg Confession. So that'll be taking place here at 9:30 in the church proper. Sunday school will be starting in the chapel at 9:15. You're welcome to join them for the sing-along from 9:15 to 9:30. And then teen study will take place in the gathering space upstairs. Teacher calls, we give thanks to the Lord that he has led Mr. Darren Vogt to return the call and stay here serving at St. Mark's. Keep Ms. Boschek in our prayers as she is still deliberating the call she has received to teach in Albuquerque. Midweek Lenten service number 4, this coming Wednesday at 6:30, supper at 5:30 in the Multipurpose Center. This month, as we noted last week, for LWMS, it's every Sunday is Mission Box Sunday. So keep that in mind. If you want to learn more about that, again, see the information board there in the lobby. The rally that we are hosting is on April 15th. So again, you can find more details about that there in the lobby. April 1st, again, no fooling on this, right? We are planning to invite people to our campus with the goal of learning about our Savior. So we're looking for things to help fill the eggs that are part of the Connect event. And also we're serving lunch that day for those in attendance. So if you're willing to donate something to help fill those eggs, see the box back there in the entryway by the information board, and as well as contact Stacy to volunteer to be a greeter for that day, or also to help with the lunch. We can use many hands to greet the people from the community. For those with children who are younger than teens, we have a Connect event coming up on March 26th in between the worship services in the Multipurpose Center. You'll learn more about it in the weekly news. We're working on connecting all the families we have. We have a great number of families, which we're thankful for. Some come to 8, some come to 10:45, some come to 8 this Sunday, and that not 8 next Sunday. So again, we want all those children and parents to see that they have other parents and children like them. And so this is an opportunity to connect. So keep that in mind, March 26th. Men, we have a NorCal's meeting on April 29th. Just putting that on your radar, save the date. We have a special guest speaker coming in, Mr. David Bartelt, who used to serve at California Lutheran High School. He's an excellent speaker. April 29th, you can sign up through Stacy for that event. We do have an open house if it's not raining and you want to see the restrooms. Just some finishing touches that need to be done in Building 6. That's where Junior K and Kindergarten. I know who gets excited about bathrooms, but hey, this has been a few years in the making, and these are probably the best bathrooms on campus right now. So if you want to go take a look, if you don't want stairs, you know, go around in front of the MPC and then down in front of the 800 classrooms. If you don't mind stairs, you can take either way. Behind the Multipurpose Center, I believe maybe our principal or Stacy might be there to help open up just to make sure. Appreciate that. I think Sean is there already. So just to see this, what our kids are going to come back to on Monday, we give thanks for all those who have put time and effort into updating the bathrooms. See the weekly news for the things that are going on here at church and school. And at this time, to get more connected with our school, we have a video.
Hello, St. Mark's. My name is Darren Vogt, and I have the privilege to serve as the principal of our junior kindergarten through eighth grade school. January and February are easily the busiest months on our campus. So let's take a look at the many events that have happened in our school. In January, we began our re-enrollment for the 2023-2024 school year. We are completing all applications online once again through our Sycamore Student Information System. If you know of anyone that is interested in finding a new school, please do not hesitate to let them know about us and encourage them to come and take a tour of our beautiful campus. On January 23rd through the 27th, we held our annual School Spirit Week, where students were able to dress up according to a theme each day for some fun and building of school culture. The students enjoyed the themes of Pajama Day, Jersey and Jeans Day, Disney Day, Millionaire Day, and the traditional Navy and Gold Day. All this was leading up to our Geography Bee, which was held in our gymnasium. This year, fifth grader Isabella won the title as our champion. Our seventh and eighth grade co-ed basketball team wrapped up their season this past month. They had a very successful season with some really exciting games. It is always great to see our students working hard on and off the court. A big thank you to Mr. Wall, Mr. Casagnola, and Mr. Williams for their volunteer hours of coaching. Speaking of basketball, we also wrapped up our annual St. Mark's Youth Basketball League, or known as SMIBL. This five-week league was a great community event where we had 106 kindergarten through second grade student athletes participating. It was great to see so many people in our gymnasium that were encouraged to learn more about the ministry on our campus. We were even blessed again to have Dinger from the Sacramento River Cats join our mascot, Leo the Lion, on the last day of the league. A big thank you to anyone that volunteered to help make this annual event a success once again. We cannot wait to host it again next year. Our students once again have been enjoying learning outside of the normal classroom routine with field trips. The first through fourth grade went to a special movie screening on national parks and music across our country. The fifth through sixth graders went to a science museum and worked with microscopes. And our seventh and eighth graders went to the Sacramento State Planetarium. They even got to go bowling. Every year, our seventh and eighth graders participate in an essay contest put on by our local VFW. This year's theme was How We Honor Our Veterans. We were blessed to have two winners this year. Congratulations to seventh graders, Alex and Angie, who wrote wonderful essays and were rewarded with a $100 prize. There have been so many other things happening on our campus, from hosting the NorCal Teachers Conference, auditions and practices for our spring performance night, fundraising for the American Heart Association's Kids Heart Challenge, having the California Lutheran High School Choir lead us in chapel worship, working on a remodel of our junior K bathrooms, and having our father-daughter and mother-son dance, which was delayed. It is crazy to think that in a few short months, the school year will be drawing to a close, but we do have some major events planned to wrap up our school year. On March 31st, we invite you to come to our annual family game night from 5 to 7 p.m. Please bring your favorite game to play, and we also will be serving delicious tacos. On April 10th through the 14th, there will be no school for Easter and spring break. May 1st through the 5th, we will have our NWEA spring map testing. May 19th will be our spring performance night. May 24th will be our 8th grade luncheon where we celebrate our soon-to-be graduates. And May 31st will be our school year's closing service, graduation, and award ceremony. And our always exciting culminating event of the school year will be the pool party, which will take place on June 1st. Even with a lot of things happening with our ministry of our school, we still have even more to be thankful for. Thank you for supporting our school. That's all I have for you today, St. Mark's. And remember, His mercies are new every morning.